Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Speaking of photos, on Wednesday, there was a mock fashion show outside of the Teen Vogue offices at the Condé Nast building in Midtown to encourage the magazine to stop altering images and to feature real girls. Maybe you heard about the Body Peace Treaty offered by Seventeen magazine last week after teenagers petitioned them to feature unaltered photographs. The next target is Teen Vogue, and the two young activists leading that effort are here with me in the studio. They are Karina Cruz and Emma Steidahar. They're part of the girl-fueled activist movement Spark, which aims to end the sexualization of women and girls in media. Also joining us is the executive director of Spark, Dana Edel. Welcome, all of you, to WNYC. Hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Emma, tell me the point you were trying to make on Wednesday outside the offices of Teen Vogue.
Well, we just wanted to show Teen Vogue, to show Condé Nast, to show the world what implanting real girls would look like in a fashion setting.
What would it look like?
It looked like the protest.
Real people of all shapes and sizes, yeah, and colors and et cetera?
Yeah, definitely. And that's really what we want them to show in their magazine at Teen Vogue.
Karina, you had a short meeting, I understand, with Teen Vogue editor-in-chief Amy Astley, but I read you were pretty disappointed with that meeting. What did she say? How did that go?
Well, it didn't last more than 5 minutes, and it really felt like we were being reprimanded in a way, or interrogated. I mean, they obviously didn't agree to the meeting to hear us out. They wanted to defend their magazine, which is understandable, but we really aren't accusing them of anything. We really just want them, if they really haven't been using Photoshop to alter these girls' faces or bodies, we really want them to tell that to their readers publicly, because that's the most important thing.
You said you felt interrogated. Was she asking you tough questions?
Not really, just, you know, showing us different sections of the magazine over the past few years, showing that they have been using real girls and telling us to do our homework.
But not persuasive to you?
No.
Didn't convince you?
No.
Now, listeners, do we have any young women in our audience who want to call us up and talk about this effort to get teen fashion magazines to portray girls differently? Tell us how reading these magazines makes you feel about them, about yourself. A lot of people say it makes them feel bad about themselves. Adults, did you read these magazines when you were younger? And do you think it shaped the way you think about yourself today, and in a positive way or negative way? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So Dana Edel, executive director of Spark, Emma and Karina are asking people to sign a petition to the editor of Teen Vogue, which says, quote, follow 17's example and pledge not to alter any model's body or face and to celebrate beauty in all its forms, unquote. They have over 30,000 signatures. Explain what the 17 magazine Body Peace Treaty offers.
Yeah. Well, we were so thrilled and happy that 17 Magazine agreed to publish in their magazine a pledge and a promise to their readers that they will not be altering girls' faces and bodies. They will be celebrating girls' beauty in all of its diversity. And that was really thrilling that everybody on the staff at 17 signed that peace treaty and made this promise to their readers, so that girls reading the magazine feel confident and trust that the images they are looking at are images that might look like them and their friends.
And listeners, in case you want to see this actual Body Peace Treaty, we've put a link to it on our page. We also have a link to the petition, so you can see all this material at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Emma, you've been a subscriber to Teen Vogue, I understand, but I read that you canceled your subscription because it was such what you called a depressing experience. How so?
Well, I remember being in about sixth grade and flipping through the magazine and just thinking to myself, oh, I wish I had her body. I wish I had her legs. I wish I had her hair. And never thinking, wow, beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, and feeling positive about myself.
Karina, Spark cites that 75% of girls feel bad about themselves after even just a few minutes of reading a fashion magazine. And yet Teen Vogue has more than a million readers. Mm-hmm. Why do you think girls continue to read those magazines if they prompt those feelings?
Well, I think it's all part of society's beauty standards. I mean, they've been around for a while. I mean, we're so advanced in our technology, but yet so behind in our beauty standards. I mean, as a young woman of color and dealing with weight issues and naturally curly hair, I've always had a problem trying to find somebody to look up to in these magazines that I know many other girls have. So, and I've been part of that 75%, and it's hard to find a girl who's relatable to us, but we still keep going back because it's still what society tells us to look like.
Julie and Paramus, you're on WNYC. Julie, thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi. I think I just wanted to add to the discussion that these images, because if they're not real, they make us feel very insecure, and they almost make us over-focus on our physical appearance rather than other things that we should be focusing on now as teenagers, like our studies and going to college, and instead we spend an hour every morning getting ready for school.
Anybody want to react to that?
Yeah. Hi, Julie. I definitely agree with that. As teen girls, we're looking at, in these magazines, we're seeing these images in the media, and it's really setting this limited standard of beauty for us, and trying to achieve that standard of beauty is, one, impossible because these images have been photoshopped, and two, so time-consuming.
Dana?
And also, we live in a world where we tell little girls pretty much from birth that the most important thing is what they look like. From the time they're babies, they're told they're beautiful, pretty little princesses. And we focus so much on girls' appearance from a very, very young age that by the time they get to be teenagers, they do learn, like Julie said and Emma, that the most important thing is what you look like.
Yeah.
Julie, thank you for calling in. Cynthia in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cynthia.
Brian, how are you? Oh my gosh, I love your show so much. Thank
you
for taking my call.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to, congratulate you girls for the wonderful work that you're doing. I'm a little older, I'm in my late 20s, and I, remember growing up, reading these magazines and feeling like not only are different body types represented, different ethnicities. I'm Latina, and I never saw, an African-American woman or Latino women in magazines. And it was so sad to, kind of say, what I look like is not, this acceptable standard.
And why did you continue to read after having those feelings?
I think I wanted to, it was about fashion for me. I wanted to see what people were wearing. I wanted to, again, it was like a guide on what to look like. And definitely, there was a whitewashing element to that. It's like, you're supposed to straighten your hair and, wear certain types of clothes. And I, when I was younger, I thought, man, it would be so great if somebody stood up for this and someone, the women, if we just stopped buying these magazines and made our voices heard and said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We want to see women that look like us in magazines.
Yeah.
And, again, and particularly plus size women too, And so I love that you girls are really being vocal and active about this.
Karina?
We support you.
I agree so much with you. I mean, I'm Latina too. I'm Puerto Rican. And I've always dealt with this problem. I mean, it's hard enough to find, just in general, women of color in the media who are fully accepted for who they are. And the hair thing, too. Like, I straighten my hair on occasion. And when I go to my beauty salon, you never see girls just trying to rock their natural hair. They're always putting chemicals in it or straightening it to the point where their hair starts to crack. I mean, it's these magazines and media that tells us that we have to change who we really are, and it's doing more harm than good.
Cynthia, thank you so much for calling in. Please call again. And Dana, unfortunately, I'm guessing that a lot of adult women and men also feel bad about themselves when they read fashion magazines. What's with this masochistic urge to look at these quote-unquote perfect bodies that reflect only a certain vision of beauty, even when it makes us feel bad about ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to actually detangle the feeling bad from the what you're expected to look like. These are the images that we see 99% around us, and we live in a world now where the media is literally on every billboard, on our cell phones, on the internet. We are surrounded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Every single minute, we are looking at these images. So it becomes nearly impossible, despite how hard we try to look at the images and look in the mirror and not see the differences between the two.
Of course, if I'm a fashion magazine executive, I'll say, look, my industry is not in the business of promoting somebody's positive body image. I'm in the business of selling magazines, and these images sell. Tell me why you think fashion magazines have any greater responsibility than that.
Well, we love that fashion magazines want to make money, be prosperous, feed families, all that good stuff. But we want these fashions to be accessible to everyone, every body type, every ethnicity, every skin tone, every hair texture, because that's what fashion is. We all want to wear great clothes, feel great about ourselves, but we want that to be accessible to everyone.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. It's when the definition of looking good is so narrow and so limiting and so dangerous to attain.
I mean, and we deal with a lot of issues where media takes it to the point where looking good is more important than being smart. And I think that's a problem that girls go through a lot. Like, they're worrying more. We're in high school. Like, we should be enjoying being in the middle of school and having such a good education, but we're not worrying about that. We're worrying about boys and how our hair looks and if we're skinny enough to get with boys. Like, it's a huge problem.
Jackie in Bogota, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jackie.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. I'm a 33-year-old woman. I'm an attorney, and I'm a new mother of a 1-year-old daughter. And I have a really visceral memory when I got my first 17 magazine subscription when I was probably about 16 or 17 years old. And up until that point, I had great parents. I had incredibly high self-esteem, very smart girl, did well academically, was in sports, and I remember the impact of that those pages had on me, and all of a sudden feeling I was less than, I wasn't as beautiful as, and that was what was really important. And I really didn't start to think critically about the stuff until I was in college, and I had women's and gender studies classes, and especially now having 1-year-old daughter, it's becoming incredibly important to me, especially the over-sexualization aspect of it. And I am just so, so incredibly proud to hear these young women speaking so articulately and intelligently and with such insight. And I'm sure you're being told this from so many people, but I'm so proud of you. And I hope to be a part of the work you're doing, and I can't wait to go on the website. And just thank you.
But Jackie, if they are being told this over and over again, it still matters, because I'm looking at smiles and blushes all around the table right now.
Good.
Thank you so much. Karen in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to commend these girls for doing what they're doing. I'm a 40-year-old born in bed in New York City, and I'm a colored girl who was raised in Staten Island at a time when we were really only the only colored family around. And all the images that I saw in the magazines that I loved were of what you see typically now. I just think back when I was growing up, I think there was a little bit more diversity in what we saw, surprisingly, even though we weren't as global. We had Sassy magazine, we had Jane magazine, and we had John Hughes movies that kind of celebrated kind of the outsider, not so, you know, blonde, you know, beach body girl. And I think now these days, that's not celebrated. And what you girls are doing are amazing. I think, the 5 minutes that you got, unfortunately, at that particular magazine, because I did work at a certain magazine there in Condé Nast, was probably 5 minutes too long. I mean, I don't mean to belittle them, but they're in the business of making money, and that's kind of what floats now from, what you were talking about, Brian, with Penn State to our fashion magazines. It's about, it's a money-making culture, and you girls are amazing, and I'm proud, and I cannot wait to sign the petition.
And Karen, thank you so much. That those two stories, Penn State and this, in some perverse way tie together. But, Karen talked about how she used to have Sassy and Jane. Cosmo Girl is another one.
Yeah.
Gone. these magazines definitely tried to buck the trend and focus on school and smarts and real girls doing cool things like community service. Is there a reason, Dana, that you think that those magazines didn't make it, or is that the reason that they didn't make it, because they didn't use these destructive images to make them sell?
Well, unfortunately, we are seeing an extreme hypersexualization of girls in the media and television and movies and clothing all over. I did an interesting experiment recently where I found a bunch of 17 magazines from the late 80s, and I compared the difference in the magazines in the 80s to today and noticed how much more sexualized the images are today, where literally in the prom issue in 1988, the dresses are, you know, huge and cover all parts of the body, and today they're just barely there.
And so a guy posts on our site and asks, and when are we going to see Zach Galifianakis on the cover of Men's Health? Kind of larger comic actor. So are there alternative media that you two are reading now to get away from this? If, you know, if Sassy and some of those others are gone, are there equivalents that you are reading today that show real girls doing real things?
Well, I haven't been much of a magazine person anymore, but I do definitely read blogs much more. I mean, after I discovered Spark and I started becoming a part of it, I mean, that's when all my click moments really started to happen.
Well, maybe you are going to have to start your own alternative magazine.
There's also, I would love to shout out Teen Voices, which is an amazing magazine out of Boston, and also New Moon is a great magazine for younger girls that both really focus on positive images of girls.
So Karina Cruz and Emma Steidahar are part of the girl-fueled activist movement Spark, which has a petition going right now to try to get Teen Vogue to stop altering images and to feature real girls. Dana Edel is executive director of Spark. You can see the petition and 17 Magazine's Body Peace Treaty through links on our page. Go to wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.